Good morning, everyone. My name is Christine So from Westside House Church. I'm going to read the passage for today. Mark 15, verse 21 to 32. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him, they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You will destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also revived him. Amen. So I want to begin with a movie scene that stuck with me for years. I remember watching The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson. We know that the movie is so intense, especially the scenes leading up to the crucifixion. But one moment stood out to me. When Jesus is carrying his cross through the streets, he falls. And then a man from the crowd was suddenly pulled in. The Roman soldiers yell at him, "You, help him carry the cross." That stranger was Simon of Cyrene. In the movie, Simon is so reluctant, he doesn't want to do it. He tries to resist, but eventually he picks up the cross and walks beside Jesus. As I watched that, I remember thinking, I want to be like Simon. I want to be like him because he was so close to Jesus, who was fully human and suffering, and he was able to share the load and bear the cross. Yes, this morning I would like to talk about Simon and passers-by. The key verses: and they compelled a passer-by coming from the country, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. Simon was a random guy and just passing by. He wasn't there to follow Jesus. But later, in the same passage, we see another group of passers-by who mock Jesus. So we can see two types of passers-by. One becomes a cross-bearer. The others become mockers. So who is Simon? I'm interested in learning more about this stranger. He's from Cyrene, a city in North Africa. He's not from Jerusalem. He's a visitor, maybe just in town for the celebration. And then, all of a sudden, he's thrust into the most critical moment in human history. The Roman soldiers force him to carry Jesus' cross. He doesn't volunteer. He doesn't say, "Hey, use me, let me help." He might have thought, "Why me?" Maybe even he felt upset or angry. I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. But the rest is history. We all know that he was actually at the right place at the right time. This stranger from far away is the one who walked so closely with Jesus through his final steps. He carries the burden, and Simon can see the blood on Jesus' face. He may even hear the groans, and he's able to experience the heaviness and the pain of the cross. He's so close to the suffering of Christ. Did that encounter change him? I believe so. Because in the Gospel of Mark, there's a small but important detail about Simon. It doesn't only say he's from Cyrene, it also said he's the father of Alexander and Rufus. That made me think, why mention his sons? Maybe Mark, the writer, knew Simon personally. Or maybe the early readers knew who he was by naming his sons. It's possible his sons were part of the early church. And that's something even more interesting. In Romans 16:13, Paul writes, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me also." Some scholars believe this Rufus could be the same Rufus, Simon's son. I'm not 100% sure on this, but I will ask when I get into heaven. But what if his son Rufus is the same one mentioned in Paul's letter? So then, this brief encounter didn't just change Simon only, it changed his whole family. I hope it is the same Rufus, and that Simon's family became a legacy. Even 2,000 years later, we still remember their names. But not everyone who passed by the cross responded the same way. As I mentioned earlier, let's now look at the other passers-by. They also saw Jesus suffering. They also walked past the cross. But instead of being drawn in, what did they do? They mocked. They said, "If you're really the Son of God, come down." They missed the moment. They were so close to Jesus, but they stay distant. They were entertained at that moment, but they walked away empty. On the other hand, Simon was inconvenienced, but he walked away with transformation. So what we can learn from this story? Simon didn't plan to carry the cross. He was just passing by, going about his day. But suddenly, he was interrupted and pulled into something he didn't plan for. Isn't that similar to our lives? We don't sign up for hardship. We don't plan for interruptions. But here's the revelation I would like to share with you. God often meets us in the interruptions. He works through the inconvenient and unexpected moments. Simon didn't know he was stepping into a critical moment. To him, it probably felt like a random inconvenience. But God had a purpose. That moment wasn't random. It was an invitation to get closer to Jesus. What if the difficult or inconvenient moments in our lives are actually invitations from God? The cross is heavy. It's not comfortable or convenient, but the cross is transformational. So here are the questions. Are we just passing by? Are we going through life hoping to avoid the weight of the cross, to stay comfortable, living in DND, do not disturb mode? Or are we willing to say, Lord, when you go, I go. I'm willing to carry the cross. So don't miss our chance to carry the cross, even if it's hard and heavy, because the cross changes us. It can transform us. And through our obedience, God can create a legacy far beyond what we can see. So let's take a moment to reflect, and I would like to invite Nikki to lead us in a time of worship as we meditate on today's passage. So are we just passing by? Are we willing to carry the cross? Are we open to God's interruptions so that we can stay close to Jesus?
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave a for this love, Lord. Thank you for the new pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. crowns. You reign victorious. High and lifted up, the Jesus Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the
Okay, let's come up front to pray. All right. Very thankful for this message. As I was reflecting, I was really thinking of, we don't like to be inconvenienced. We don't want interruptions in our lives. But I think this is a really good reminder that when there is interruptions, and do we realize that it is an opportunity to encounter God, and do we embrace that? So let's take a moment just to reflect on, maybe our own encounters. And the idea of bearing his cross. Easter is around the corner, and I think it's a very good chance for us to reflect on whether, in our day-to-day, are we, taking up Christ's cross? Are we willing, or are we just, trying to, go about our own ways and avoid that? So let's take the time to pray for the services that are coming up. Tomorrow we'll have, it's tomorrow, that's right, Good Friday service with RT. So yeah, let's pray for our speaker. Let's pray for RT, who's traveled all the way to speak to us. And I just thought of, you know, how Easter could be one of those times where people who don't usually go to church suddenly want to, you know, attend a service. And yeah, if that's the case, or if we have friends or family who happen to, you know, want to join a service, or those newcomers who might be coming to our service, let's pray for salvation. And even though house churches are on break, let's also pray for our congregation, pray for all those who are, you know, like house church leaders who are taking a break right now. Just pray for all to be, you know, refreshed during this time. And as we gather again, we'll continue to really encounter God in our fellowships. And let's open the floor for any personal prayer requests.